Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Today is Tuesday, August the 24th. You know, the year is winding down. Time is winding up. I thank God for all that He's doing to help His people see Him and understand His ways. God loves us. His love is true and His love is perfect. And we've entered into life. And I thank God for it. We have the best opportunity ever in Christ. We can grow from glory to glory. Whatever Jesus did, we can do. He made us in His image. We are designed to do all that God has given us to do, just like Jesus. And I thank God for it. I don't apologize for the blessings. You know, the prosperity of life is our heritage. And I was telling my wife, I said, a lot of times people expect what the world, whatever happens to the world, that's what they expect. Let me break it down. When you study the Word of God, God is working with people that's not like Him. From Genesis to Revelation, in many cases, people, they are always arrogant men that won't obey God. Now, the people of God had to wander the wilderness. And they wandered that wilderness for 40 years. Not because they had to, but because they would not listen to God. They wouldn't do it His way. They wouldn't adopt His ways. They didn't grow. They didn't receive His word in their heart. Now, but they did obey what Moses said. But they never grew up. You can't allow the worldly way to influence your heart. You have to drive it out. But people didn't do that. They tried to get along anyway. They didn't get rid of Egypt. They left Egypt physically, but not spiritually or mentally. And people like that don't get healed often. And even in the Old Testament, and Jesus referred to the fact that out of all the people in Israel, only one woman got a son raised from the dead. And then out of all the diseases they had, a Syrian captain got healed of leprosy. When the Jews, it was their heritage to get healed. But a damsel, a little girl, a Jewish girl, told her master that there was a prophet in Israel that could heal him. He believed, he went to see the prophet. The prophet said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And he did. And he went in that muddy river and washed, and he came back whole. That's the blessings of God shouldn't be an anomaly. That should be everyday happenings. And if it was, more people would live. But you got Christian people trying to fit in with the world. They don't want to be odd. They don't want to lay hands. They don't want to pray in public. They are ashamed of the prosperity of life. See, the world need to see us living in full obedience to God, enjoying our relationship with God, boldly living for God, and then they'll see the blessings come upon us. And I remember in the 80s, people tried to prosper in the sight of the world, money-wise, to get their attention. Well, that didn't work out. That don't work too good if your life is not, if you're not God-like. When people become selfish and arrogant, and then God bless them, that's a mixed signal. And God don't do mixed signals. But if you love people like God loves you, and people know you, you got the same problems they have. And it's obvious. Christian people share the same type of problems at various stages of their lives. And not because they're bad people, but along with the fact that we're trying to grow, Satan is trying to confuse us and attack us. He dispatches seducing spirits to get us over on his side, so our lives will be weak. And then doctrines of devil, so we'll stay in his lane. Now, everything that I went through, the enemy, I saw how the enemy was working against me. And I knew that my brothers in the Lord that was preachers, and brothers and sisters in the Lord that were preachers and fellow Christians, they were going through the same thing, because it was made known that the same kind of things happen among all men. And so when I would attempt to preach and minister God's word, I went through all kind of attacks. So I realized that other people were going through the same sort of attacks. So my strategy was to give people as much information as I possibly could, if I had a chance to do it. And sometimes you don't, amazingly so, because people, their priorities are so varied. And so how do you just walk up to people and tell them what God told you? It's not always easy. It's not always accepted either, because people will take it the way they take it. People take it differently. But when God gave me an opportunity to preach, I would try to give people as much information as I possibly could. And in those days, I didn't have much time to preach. I wouldn't have but 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Time would be wasted. All kinds of things would happen. So I had to learn to get a thought over quick. Well, I've been doing that since I've been preaching. The only time I could preach 45 minutes was at church, the church I was a member of. Everywhere else, I had to just make it quick, because I didn't have the time. But I knew that people were struggling and going through things. So I asked the Lord to help me get his points across, and he worked with me. Then God gave me a radio broadcast in 06, and I was used to sprint preaching. Now, I didn't always like it, but I had to work with what I had to work with. But the reason I didn't have much time in the earlier days is because the enemy fought the ministry. So when people give a word, anything that they do that's a blessing to not just me, but the body of Christ, I always like to acknowledge that I appreciate it. Because if you preached and you won all the battles that it takes to win and get up there and preach God's word in faith, that's commendable to me. And I appreciate every man and woman of God that do that sincerely. And it means a lot to me, because I was also misunderstood. People said, well, you're just trying to make a name for yourself. That's as far from my mind. That's farther than Pluto. Pluto is so far away from here. And so is that kind of thinking. I don't think that way. That's divisive. Those are divisive thoughts. Those are satanic thoughts. Now, that's a good way to put it. Competition is satanic. I don't want that. See, we're a body. We got to learn to think like a body. If I love you like God loves me, if I love you and serve you like Jesus loved and served me, then I appreciate what God did in your life. And I thank God for it, because we're connected through Christ, through the Holy Ghost, same spirit. And when people do that, then the Lord will have them saying this, what the body needs at the time. It happens at our church all the time. I'm so thankful I work with people that's not like, you know, they don't give in to that kind of competition that's divisive. And I can tell you a lot of unpleasant stories, but I don't want to go there. Let's look at Isaiah 5. Now, I'm going to give you scriptures. You're just going to have to study them because I have a lot of them today. But in Isaiah 5, the Lord planted a vineyard. He did what he was supposed to. He loved us. Now, this is the first generation. Now, he put it in a song. He said, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. He fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." That doesn't make sense, does it? But continue listening. He did everything it takes to make a wonderful vineyard. Then it brought forth wild grapes. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard." What could have been done more? Think about that. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? "Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression; for righteousness, but behold a cry. Woe to them that join house to house, that lay field to field, that there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great, and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an almond shall yield an ephah. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue to night till wine inflame them, and the harp and the vial, tabret and pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands." When you read the book of Acts, this is evident. All the things that the Jews stirred up against the Christian people, which were Jews and Gentiles. The church was made of Jews and Gentiles, but the wild grapes tried to mess it up. So when you compare the verse 13, "Therefore my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge." Let's see. When you compare it to the book of Acts. Yeah, here, I'm sorry, verse 12. "And the harp and the vial, the tabret, pipe, the wine and their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands." When you compare verse 12 to the book of Acts and many other books such as Colossians and Galatians, Paul had to write to church, "Who bewitched you, trying to get you back into the law?" In Colossians, they're trying to get you back into the law, get circumcised, works for salvation. "Who bewitched you?" These are wild grapes, and their influence is heavy. Their influence helps shape the doctrines of devils that we deal with today. You can trace it all the way back to that and all the way back to here. Verse 13, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity." See, the curse causeless will not come. The judgment of God causeless will not come. You have to merit the judgment of God. And they did. Verse 13, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." They didn't listen. "And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiced shall descend into it, The mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty shall be made, shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humble. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and the God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones strangers shall eat. Woe to them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. They're doing this on purpose. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near. Come that we may know it. They want to see something before they believe. They want a sign. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light, light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Wild grapes. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Wild grapes. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, the flame consumes the chaff, so their roots shall be rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, which caused them to never understand. They are wild grapes. Verse 25, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he that stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber or sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loose, but the latches, nor the latch of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, and their bows bent, and their horses' hoofs should be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. See, the Lord, this is why people go into captivity. Their enemies are mighty now. They made them mighty with their sin, and their enemies are going to win against them. Their roaring shall be like the lion, like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. This happened with the king of Assyria in Isaiah's day, and the king of Babylon when he took Judah in Jeremiah's day. And in that day shall they roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look to the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof, because this is the judgment of God. When God does judgment, he turns the lights off. Now, let's go to Isaiah 6, and then we're going to bounce around with other scriptures, because God is sharing something. And there's a comparison of what the wild grapes did of the Jews and the wild grapes of the church. This is the same pattern. They caused a pattern. Some people listened to them that was in the church, because they didn't receive the word nor the love of God in their heart. They allowed the leaven of the evil words to leaven them, and they became just like them. See, whatever you give your allegiance to, whatever you fear, whatever you act on, that's what you'll become like. Verse 6, and in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah is seeing the glory of the Lord. Pure. This is what it's all about, he realizes. Okay, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the smoke was filled, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He wanted help because he didn't want to be like he was. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now, he's been purified when he cried out. Now, he didn't esteem himself to be one of the leading prophets in this vision. He said, I also I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. There were others there that he esteemed greater than him by that statement. He was kind of surprised to be there in the first place. But nevertheless, he did something about his sin. Now, continuing on, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. See, the coal touched his lips. His sin was gone. He was strengthened. He was fortified in Christ, so to speak. Because who we saw, you know, Jesus is Lord back then. He just manifested as a man. But he saw the glory of God, so he was there with Jesus. It doesn't say Jesus, but that's what, you know, Jesus was always. So, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Verse 10 is talking about wild grapes. He blinded the whole country that had become like wild grapes. They're fit for nothing. But evil. The curse causes will not come, or the judgment causes will not come. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth. See, 10% of the people are going to not be wild grapes of Israel. Read it again. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten. Remember, the theme is grapes. These are good grapes, not wild grapes. They, in other words, they're going to be received with open arms. They're Christ-like. I'm going to read it again. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and be eaten. As a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them, they have the word in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof, the word of God. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 4. You got to compare. I'm comparing the wild grapes of the Israelites that missed the point. They were wild grapes. God did everything to get them out of Egypt. But they caused it to fail because they became wild grapes. Looking at the world, the wisdom of God putting them in Egypt. See, in order to represent God, you got it. First, he had to keep covenant with Abraham. Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. God would do the same. So he had to raise up a nation that will honor him. And they had to break through the confines of the world. They had to be a people. Living in Egypt, they lived without war. See, they were protected by Egypt. They saw the culture of Egypt. And they were supposed to learn the ways of God. They would have had a comparison to always not do what the Egyptians did, but do what God would have them do. They would have been a light to Egypt. And God blessed Egypt for hosting them. But then a king came to mess it all up, made them slaves. So they had to be as slaves. Now they have knowledge that the world that we're trying to get saved They hate us, but we got to do this anyway because they're valuable to God. Nevertheless, they got it. They took it wrong. They took the pride of Egypt with them. They took the leaven of Egypt with them. They obeyed Moses, and they had success as they obeyed. But they never let Egypt go. And then the witchcraft of Egypt. I talked about that in the spirit called the spirit of Egypt. And the witchcraft of the people that they should have drove out of Canaan land. Influence them. See, people, every person has influence. And if you don't drive out the dead influence, and if you fear it and practice it, you become just like them. Wild grapes. But God did everything and gave them knowledge, and they still became wild grapes. God gave them his army to fight for them. All they had to do was obey God, and the armies of heaven would fight for them. It happened all over the Bible. And they still became wild grapes. He sent prophets and kings and priests, and they still became wild grapes. That doesn't make sense. And the church, they instead of focusing on Jesus, they're looking at Jesus and they're allowing the influences of the world around them. They watch TV and radio and movies without realizing this is not good for me. Now, I'm not, you know, TV and movies of themselves are not always bad. You have to be selective. But you got to keep Jesus first, and you got to drive all the darkness you see out. However you like entertainment, you still got to drive the darkness out so that it don't influence your mind. If it's wrong, you don't have to watch it. If it's good, be edified. But when it's wrong, drive it out. Every thought. You know, now, I like certain shows, but I hate the commercials. The darn commercials ain't worth a quarter. So I decided I'm not going to do business with people that make roguish commercials. Period. I don't have to do business with them. Nevertheless, let's look at Mark chapter 4. I love Mark chapter 4. Parable of the soul. Here it is. All right. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and divided up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up, increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now watch this, that seeing they may see and not perceive, wild grapes, and hearing they may hear and not understand, they're wild grapes, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. The parable of the sower is a cipher for every parable that Jesus gave. You just have to go back and look and compare them. Every one that you're puzzled about, compare it with the parable of the sower. And he said, And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts, and they remain wild grapes. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, yea, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended, and they go back into the field of wild grapes, and they become wild grapes. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And they bear no fruit, just like old wild grapes. You know, the Laodicean church, once it's leavened, they become half-hearted, and God spits them out. If God spit them out, there's something rotten about them. They won't budge. They won't repent. The best reference I know of the Laodicean churches, what's written in Jeremiah chapter 42, and the life of King Saul after he turned. Leaven causes you to become just like wild grapes. And, all right, now these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. These are like the five wise virgins. They got the word in them. They got the substance in them. Just like the true grapes. They're not wild grapes. And see, remember, in Revelation 14, God's going to send the angel with the sickle, and they're going to take up the harvest. And then they're going to harvest the grapes, and they're going to be crushed. The wild grapes will be crushed. All of the wild grapes will die. From the time of Isaiah Day to the Battle of Armageddon. Think about these things. And this is the time it will happen. I'm out of time.